Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is great to have you with us this morning. We've got a lot of things going on this week with the convention and some great guests lined up for Faith and Family this week. Today, we have a great guest, a rare opportunity for us, actually, to get to talk with someone who really speaks for us and on our behalf, spends a lot of time working for us in terms of government. So today, our guest is Congressman Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming, and we'll be talking about the nature of that career, that vocation, and all the work that it entails, and how she manages to balance family life and work and faith, how she manages to keep all those things in line and in check. If you would like to join the conversation in the studio today, you can at area code 314-821-0850 or outside of the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727. And if you would like to, also, if calling in isn't your thing, you'd like to join us via email, you can do that as well. Email us at family@kfuo.org. Faith and Family is underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit our website, kfuoam.org. Go to the sponsor section and click on the logo for Concordia University, Wisconsin. Well, welcome to our guest today. Cynthia, are you there?
I am, Andy.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for giving us your time. I know you're a very busy person these days.
I'm more than happy to. Thanks for the opportunity. I was looking forward to this.
Wonderful. You literally just walked out of, an important meeting. You were in hearings this morning. Is that right?
Yes, I had a hearing this morning in the Natural Resources Committee on the stream buffer rule that the Office of Surface Mining is working on. And then I just stepped out of a hearing on the NSA and their retention of individual phone records. So just like most days here in Washington, it's a very varied menu of issues that are really important to the American people.
Well, thank you for your time. I know that you've got a lot on your plate, so we're going to spend some time talking about that too, all the things that are on your plate and keep you busy and all the things that are important to you today. Tell us about your path to becoming a U.S. representative. I was reading through your biography, and it's quite an impressive story.
Well, I have lived in Wyoming all my life, went to Lutheran school in Cheyenne, Wyoming, then went to public high school, the University of Wyoming. I interned in the Wyoming legislature when I was a senior in college, and just fell in love with it. So shortly after I graduated from college, I ran for the legislature. This was in the late 1970s, and I was elected. It was a year when a lot of non-traditional candidates around the country were getting elected. So it was a right place, right time situation. I was just 24 years old when I took office there. Got on the House Revenue Committee and the House Judiciary Committee, both subjects that I just found fascinating. Ended up going back to law school at the University of Wyoming and later becoming state treasurer by virtue of my interest in the fiscal issues. And, of course, then that spurred my interest in fiscal issues here in Washington. So when I saw Washington getting us deeper in debt all the time, both parties, quite frankly, not responding to Americans concerned about fiscal responsibility, I ran for Congress and immediately was put on the Budget Committee, which I loved, and from there to the Appropriations Committee, now Natural Resources and Science, as well as Oversight and Government Reform. So we've been doing hearings, of course, on Benghazi, on the IRS and its political targeting, and what a fascinating blessing this life has been for me.
And you speak of your career and your life in this career as a blessing. What does that blessed career look like in a typical week?
Well, it's almost frantic in its pace. I go back to Wyoming every week. So I flew out to Washington from Wyoming on Monday morning. I'm in meetings, hearings, voting all week. This week we're voting on the defense budget, which will have over 100 amendments on the floor. And so between voting on and following the amendments to the defense budget, I'm in hearings in all three of my committees. This morning's was in Natural Resources, then, of course, I'll go to Oversight and Government Reform and also the Science Committee on some energy-related oil and gas fracking issues. I will fly back to Wyoming at the end of the week where Cheyenne Frontier Days is going on and then participate in the parades, the rodeo grand entries, visiting with constituents and rodeo sponsors, as well as spending some time with my husband, my parents, and I enjoy visiting with my daughter on the phone. Unfortunately, we don't get to see each other as much as we used to. She's busily working in New York City, so it's just tremendously busy.
I'm sure. You mentioned the rodeo. I'm pretty confident we have a picture of Pastor Rod Zwanitzer at that rodeo on our website on KFUO.
And I know him well, and no doubt he has spent many years at Cheyenne Frontier Days.
We have a contest going on right now at the radio station called Flat Tower. You've heard of Flat Stanley, where you travel around during the summer with your picture of Flat Stanley and take your picture in various locations. We'll have to make sure you get a Flat Tower. It's the KFUO Tower, and you take it with you to various locations. Well, we have a picture of Rod Zwanitzer at the rodeo holding his tower while riding the bull. So,
well, excellent. I'll have to get a Flat Tower and take it to some very wonderful exotic places in Wyoming and some very mysterious places in the bowels of the U.S. Capitol building.
That sounds great. We would love to get some great pictures of that. Well, this first half of the show, I really want to keep talking about the nature of your job. It's not an everyday job that everybody gets to do, and the demands of the career. And then during the second half, I'd really like to talk more about your family and how you keep it all in check and how you're able to spend time with your family. So what... You've described a typical week. You're flying back and forth. You're really essentially living in two places or more. What would you say, out of all the things that you have to do, what's the most difficult thing you've had to do in your line of work?
Well, it's physically and mentally exhausting, and you wouldn't think so because you're just sitting on an airplane on Monday mornings and Friday nights, and one would think that could be somewhat restful, but after you go through TSA and do all of the removal of your shoes and your jackets and then get dressed again at the end of TSA and shuffle onto an airplane, it's actually surprisingly exhausting, both mentally and physically. So I actually find the travel back and forth to be among the most difficult things that I do. But when I get back home, I can get quickly rejuvenated by being around family and friends, constituents, getting out on the road in Wyoming and seeing our magnificent displays of God's great Wyoming landscapes and the wonderful people who live there and that sense of freedom. It makes me want to come back to Washington and protect that freedom. And so then when I get here, I try to reengage with like-minded friends here in Congress, as well as reach across the aisle to people that I wouldn't necessarily have a natural affinity towards. And I think people assume that Republicans and Democrats rarely make friends and speak to each other. Surprisingly, it happens a lot, but it just isn't displayed that way on television and radio typically.
Well, we'll change that picture right here on Faith
Go
and
ahead.
Family. So you spend obviously a lot of time working with people from all kinds of backgrounds and certainly with different values and different perspectives. What's been probably what would you say is the most difficult subject or issue that you've had to deal with?
For my state, it's been the manner in which natural resources that we rely so heavily on and the value we place on them in terms of what they can mean for our state in terms of jobs and a better quality of life for the people who live in Wyoming, while at the same time exercising good stewardship over our natural resources, keeping our air and water clean. It's constantly under attack. So we're constantly dealing with misperceptions about our ability as people who live in this magnificently beautiful place and are still grazing, mining, producing oil and gas and energy for this country. There's this tendency in Washington to believe that Washington knows better. And so it seems that every day we're under attack from some federal agency on how we produce natural resources and food and fiber and energy for this country. So that's exhausting. In addition to just fighting misperceptions, it's hard to deal with some of the differences in the social issues and the way they play out in different states. Because certainly we have states on the coast that are much more comfortable with a pace of change with regard to the definitions of marriage and things like that. Whereas in states like my own, and I think more the interior of the country, it's a tough adjustment for us to see these massive changes occurring in our culture, in the way we define marriage, in the way that family is viewed. And so those are challenging as well.
How does being a faithful Christian, how does that help you understand your vocation and the work that you've been given as in your daily work? How does being a Christian and all that God has given you, how does that shape your worldview and what you do for day to day and the issues that you tackle?
Well, it's very much a part of my DNA. I find that there are a lot of God's faithful servants here in the Capitol building. And if I wanted to reinforce anything, I would tell you, if I wanted to go to a Bible study this noon or any morning or any evening, I can find one. There are so many good Christian people here in Congress. In the Republican Conference, we open every single conference or caucus meeting with a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance in that order, God first, country second. And you see that play out throughout the day in the manner in which we address each other and work together. So one of the really assuring things to me here in Washington is how many devout Christian people there are with whom to share these difficult and trying decisions. So that's a wonderful thing. And the other day, I have to tell you about a conversation I had with Eric Cantor, who is the only Jewish Republican in our conference and is also the majority leader of the United States House of Representatives. He's from Virginia. I had just finished delivering the prayer in our conference, and it was a very Christian prayer, invoking the name of Jesus Christ. Then I sat down next to Eric Cantor as soon as I finished praying. And I said to Eric, you know, you're very patient with all of these Christians that you're surrounded by in this conference. And he said to me, you know, I went all through school to an Episcopal school. And although I am Jewish, it strengthened my Jewish faith to be around people who were faithful and viewed God as the center of their lives. And it was just one of those lovely moments that you have when you get to be in service to your country in an atmosphere and around people like this. So this is much more encouraging than some people might think it would be. And great, wonderful Lutherans here in Congress, you know, Eric Paulson is a dear friend and a fellow Missouri Synod Lutheran, and Corey Gardner from Colorado and Larry Bouchon and John Shimkus, who is sort of the leader among the Lutherans mm-hmm. here on Capitol Hill in the House. It is a nice family of Christians that try to keep front and center their faith as the guiding principles as they legislate.
Would you say that that Lutherans have perhaps there are Lutherans drawn to this work to this service because of our understanding of vocation and church and state?
I do feel that you're seeing more Lutherans engage in public service at the national level as well as at state and local government levels. And part of it is because of our concern over the loss of the freedoms that we had come to enjoy and take for granted because, of course, our inalienable rights that were God-given were embodied and throughout the history of this country, as envisioned by our founders, were commonplace. But now they seem to be under such attack. When you have any federal funding involved in, for example, an adoption agency, then you cannot no longer say that as a Christian adoption agency, we choose to adopt children into the homes where there is a mother and a father. And we do not place children in the homes of a father and a father or a mother and a mother. And yet the federal government is now saying you can't do that. With those kinds of attacks on religious freedom and the culture of the Bible, we really have to be more diligent as Lutheran Christians and as Christian Americans in preserving our religious liberty and exercising our faith in a manner that's pleasing to God.
You certainly have your work cut out for you. That's no simple task to deal with those issues and to work for work toward defending and keeping our freedoms. What kind of personality would you say, or what personality traits or characteristics would someone need to possess to really serve in the line of work that you do as a representative?
You know, what's fun about Congress is we are as different as night and day in terms of the various personalities that we have and the way we conduct our business. And people here are very reflective of the people they represent, the culture of Minnesota, and the people who represent Minnesota are very much like you would expect. It's almost stereotypical. The Southerners tend to be those very genteel, Southern charming, but very strategic people. The Westerners tend to be very open and friendly and somewhat gregarious. And then you'll see other parts of the country where there is a more reserved approach. So we're all as different as night and day in terms of the way that we interact with each other and the personalities that we bring. And I think that's part of the richness of the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, is that you see that the people that different states elect, different districts elect, are very much mm-hmm. reflective of the people they represent. It's one of the things I enjoy about it, the rich diversity. For example, I got to go to a Louisiana Mardi Gras celebration that was put on here in Washington, and it was an absolute display of the Louisiana culture, something I never would have seen elsewhere. And I can invite people to an event where we'll have one of those bucking machines, and we'll all get on it and get thrown off onto rubber mats and try to rope and ride the mechanical bull. And those are part of the fun things about displaying your culture and using these sorts of cultural introductions to interact with people and help them understand the issues that your state faces and find some common ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having those informal times together. I know in many of the places that I've worked or other folks that I've talked with, when you have those informal opportunities to interact, that can certainly improve your communication when you're working in the formal setting as well.
And those are priceless opportunities and too few. We don't have as much time to interact on those kinds of more informal levels as we used to. And one of the great ways that we used to get to know each other was when congressional delegations would go overseas. Those are bipartisan. You tend to go to places like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Turkey, places that we have considerable involvement, and you really do get to know each other when you're sitting in a helicopter in a flak jacket and it's 110 degrees and you're flying over Kandahar province. Those are the kinds of things that really build relationships among members of Congress. Unfortunately, we sequestered ourselves, just as other agencies experienced budget cuts. The House of Representatives have cut its budgets about 18% over the last 3 years. And among the things that we had to cut when we cut that deep were some of those opportunities to travel together overseas. So you see far less travel on the House side, and those were great camaraderie building opportunities that we don't have anymore. So we have to find other ways to engage in those bipartisan friendship and colleague building efforts.
Sure. It sounds like, excuse me, it sounds like that's really one of the highlights of your job, is having the opportunity to build those relationships. What are any of the other joys in your career, with about a minute and a half before we go to break, and then we can come back after break too if we want to talk more about it. But what are some of the joys in your career?
It is a great joy to represent the people of Wyoming in Congress. The people of Wyoming just love their freedom, want to protect it, know that Wyoming is a very special place. And so as I travel around the state, I get to spend time with the people I love, the place I love, and then be their advocate in Washington. It's a huge responsibility, but it's also just one of the most delightful parts of my job.
So certainly talking with and interacting with people, building those relationships, it sounds like a delight. Well, today we're talking with U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis and learning all about the ins and outs of her career as a representative. And coming up in the second half of the program, we're going to talk more about how she manages to keep it all together and maintain not just relationships at work, but also at home, how she manages to keep those relationships healthy and stay an active part of her congregation and building all those relationships. We really appreciate your time. We'll be back with more about the joys of your career and the joys of family life and keeping it all together here in just a few seconds here, or a few minutes here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
During an especially dark time in America's history, it's estimated the Ku Klux Klan was responsible for the deaths of well over 3,000 blacks. Sadly, history is repeating its grave injustice to the black community through abortion. Since being legalized, over 17 million black babies have been killed by abortion, a majority of them in Planned Parenthood abortion mills throughout the nation. Yes, it's true. Planned Parenthood has more African-American blood on its hands than the KKK. We've done research to show a majority of Planned Parenthood surgical abortion mills are within walking distance to black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Visit today's broadcast at lifeissues.org to see the dramatic visual proof blacks are being targeted by the abortion industry.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. Today's day sponsors are Bill and Linda Stegman and their children, Rebecca and Luke. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO in celebration of the birthday of their son and brother, Isaac Stegman, as they look forward to spending eternity with him in the presence of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, Psalm 116, verse 15. Once again, we say thank you to Bill and Linda Stegman and their children, Rebecca and Luke, of Ava, Illinois, today's worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
At the Washington Summit of Christians United for Israel, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, whose father is a pastor, said,
"We as Christians who stand together supporting the nation of Israel need to do, I believe, collectively a far better job explaining why a strong and vibrant Israel, while supporting the nation of Israel, is overwhelmingly in the national security interest of the United States of America."
He said if the U.S. won't stop Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, Israel will. New York Rabbi Shlomo Riskin told the mostly evangelical gathering,
"My beloved brothers and sisters, you are the best friends in the world that we have. You are the people who prove God's love."
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is to address Christians United for Israel by satellite. The thousands in attendance also are hearing from members of Congress and plan to lobby their lawmakers Wednesday on Capitol Hill. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and we are covering families and parents in demanding careers today, and we have a great guest with us, U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis, joining us on the phone today because she's got a busy schedule, and it's going to be like that most of the week with all of our busy folks. So thank you, Representative Lummis, for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. Cynthia, we've talked quite a bit about the job and the work that comes with being a representative. Now let's change gears and talk more about your family. Let's start with your husband. Probably that might be the best place. How did you meet your husband? Uh, It sounds like we're having technical difficulties. Let's see if we can get Representative Lummis back on the line here. While we're waiting for that, I want to remind you that if you'd like to join us in the studio, you can do so via the phone. Give us a call at area code 314-821-0850. Or outside of the St. Louis area, you can call us here in the studio at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. If you have an idea for a show for Faith and Family, if you have an idea of a topic that you would like for us to cover here on Faith and Family, we would really appreciate those ideas. You can email us your ideas, or you can give us a call. Email is probably the best way to get that to us, and you can do that by sending us an email at family@kfuo.org. It would be great to have your ideas. We try to cover a variety of things that we think you would like to hear about, but certainly it would be important to hear from you and what it is that you want us to talk about here on Faith and Family. All right, let's see if we have Cynthia back on the line with us here. It might take just a second, see if she can join us. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, welcome back.
Sorry, we lost each other for a bit.
Sorry about that. We're still getting used to our new equipment. We just moved into our new studios not too long ago, and still trying to learn and work out the bugs of the new equipment. So sorry about that.
No problem.
In the first half of the show, we've talked quite a bit about your career and all the ins and outs of it, what it takes to be a U.S. representative, the things you like about it, and the things that are difficult about it, and all the time that you spend in Washington. Let's head back home to Wyoming and talk about your family. And let's start with your husband. Where did it all begin? Where did you meet him?
Well, I met my husband in the Wyoming legislature. He was a Democrat, I a Republican, and we were both serving. We were both young, and that's where we met. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary, and we have one daughter, Annalise. And she lives and works in New York City right now. And my folks are both still alive in Cheyenne. My dad is at home, and it's wonderful to be on the ranch with him and enjoy listening to his advice because he stays pretty close to the radio and television during the week to find out what's going on in Washington and keep me lined out. And then my mother, who's in a nursing home in Cheyenne, I got to see her on Sunday, and we try to visit as often as we can. And that way I get to go to my home church when I'm in Cheyenne, have my pastor's son here in Washington with us this summer, interning. He is just a terrific young man, and it is just a wonderful, close, not always as close as we would like in terms of our ability to talk and visit and stay in touch, but certainly close-knit in our hearts.
And how has your relationship with your husband been a blessing in your vocation?
Oh, I couldn't do it without him. My husband is a faithful Christian man. I often think to myself how fortunate I am and how blessed I am that he is such a devout person. He's more disciplined than I. He exercises in the mornings and begins his day with exercise and a devotion. And he is the rock in our relationship and very supportive of my daughter and me. He runs his business, my business, our combined businesses, and keeps our family on the right track. So I just don't know how people could do this job without the support of a faithful spouse, a wonderful family. I look at some of members of Congress who have young children, and I just don't know how they do it. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter's almost 28 years old, and so she was an adult when I came here to Congress. I don't know how these young parents do it, but they all seem to handle it extremely well. And it is solid families that make that happen.
What would you say are some of the sacrifices that your families had to make because of your service in Congress?
Oh, they are many. It is in addition to the time apart and the fact that my husband has to run three different businesses plus our household, plus pay all the bills, plus mess with things when they go wrong, whether the refrigerator breaks down or the basement floods or one of the businesses is having a problem. It is all on his back. That's extremely difficult. It's just such a sacrifice for families. My husband also practices law. There are certain clients that would have been great clients that he has had to turn down because he wanted to avoid the appearance that he would be lobbying me on behalf of a client in the law office. So there have been financial sacrifices associated with this. And it's also been difficult on my brother and sister and parents with whom I am in business, the ranching business, because I was working on the ranch when I left and came here, and so they had to pick up my share of the workload there. So, and you could replicate that story all over Capitol Hill, where families have had to pick up when a member of their family became a member of Congress, because this is an all-consuming job. And ethically, it was designed to be that way. I mean, people who practiced medicine before they came here have had to give up their practices. People who are involved in family businesses have had to turn over the business to other family members. I have a dear friend whose family has a funeral home in Florida. His brother and sister are picking up the workload in Florida. And we talk a lot about the sacrifices that our families have made, our spouses, our brothers and sisters, our friends, in order for us to be here. So it's been that way since the beginning of our country. If you read the John Adams biography, for example, and the way that Abigail Adams and John Adams worked so hard as a team to nurture each other's faith, keep the farm going, and sacrifice for the country, you still see families giving their all so one member of that family can be here in Congress serving our nation for a period of time.
And I understand, I know you need to go pretty soon, but you've talked a lot about family and how they've had to make sacrifices, but they all worked together. How did your upbringing and the work of your family, your parents, how does that shape who you are today, and how does that impact what you're doing in your work as a representative?
It is who I am today. The way my parents raised me. Growing up in a small Lutheran school, the fact that the pastor that confirmed me at Trinity Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, now his grandson is my legislative director here in Washington, D.C., and that is coincidental in terms of an earthly evaluation of it. It is divine providence in the way that God's plan works out for us in this life. I know I am deeply and richly blessed. I am grateful to my family, my parents, my church, my 4-H club. It goes on and on how richly my life and the training and the nurturing and the values that were instilled in me as a child are exactly the values that I walk into the House chamber with every day, carrying my voting card that I place in the voting machines we have here in the House of Representatives. And when I push a vote, yes or no, for a piece of legislation, I think to myself, this is for you, Wyoming. But it is because of that entire background and upbringing and understanding myself, my faith, my church, my country, my state, that I'm able to do that with some confidence that this is what my state would have me do, what my Savior would have me do, and hopefully using this tremendous responsibility in a way that is pleasing to God.
Well, there you have it, parents and congregations. What we're doing with young people, with children, how we teach them, how we care for them, certainly shapes what they do when they grow up, and especially when they grow up to be a U.S. representative. That certainly impacts their values and the decisions and the things that they do to shape the direction of this country. Well, Representative Lummis, we really appreciate your time. I know that you are pressed for time and have to move on to other and important things today, so we really appreciate you giving us your time today and hope that we can talk with you more in the future.
Andy, it was my pleasure. God's blessings to your listeners and to your work.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. So if you've been listening today and you see you hear the importance that parents and congregations really play in the lives of young people and how that shapes who they are and who they become and really what they're going to do in the future. We never really know when what a young person is going to do and how important their vocation is going to be down the road. Obviously, every vocation is important, but how many people it will impact and how many people it will shape. So when you're looking at that screaming child or listening to that screaming child in the pew in front of you or the pew behind you, realize that how we care for them and making sure that they hear the good news of Jesus can certainly shape and impact the future of that congregation, of that community, of the whole country. Please know that. Well, thanks for joining us for Faith and Family today. It has been a pleasure talking with our guest today and talking about all that God has provided for her and keeping her strong in her demanding career. We're going to actually cut a little bit early today and go to some sacred music. So thanks so much for joining us on Faith and Family, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.